From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
I'm delighted you're listening in to Life Change Weekend. I trust that you're having a blessed week. As you know, on the weekend editions, we have all kinds of people that come on from various walks of life, people with testimonies, people who've written books, people who have unusual ministries. Then we have regulars on as well. And of course, one of those is our dear friend, Pastor Bob Kadlecic. And we appreciate so much his ministry here in the Pennsylvania area, and actually is up into New York. And Pastor, tell us a little bit about the number of campuses you have right now and a little bit what's going on with the church.
God is blessing, you know, in a great way. Just normal church ministry, I think, should be this way, but seeing people saved, seeing people discipled. We don't have any plans right now for a new campus or a new church, but that's kind of what I live for, because I think starting new churches is the way that I've seen God just grow and save and change lives more than any other way or any other program that churches can do. So I'm excited that hopefully in the coming year or two, we're going to be starting some more campuses.
Yeah, wonderful. We pray for you and thank God for your ministry. Well, here's a question we want to talk about this weekend. I remember sitting with a friend of mine in, in West Virginia at a meeting I just was at recently, and we were having, I think it was lunch. It was one of the meals, I remember that. And he said, "Man, did I ever just blow this?" What do you do when you blow it? What's something that we ought to think about? Because, Pastor, we've all blown it from time to time.
And the Bible says what we're supposed to do when we sin and when we make mistakes and hurt other people, when we blow it, we're supposed to confess. And I think as we talk about this, we need to recognize that confession is personal. And so I think it'd be helpful if everyone right now just imagines we're sitting together and we're talking about the relationship with which you have the most problems right now, or someone you have maybe hurt or sinned against. Because confession and forgiveness are among the most poorly practiced disciplines in our culture, and I think they're among the most poorly practiced disciplines in our churches, among Christians as well. But most Christians have no problem confessing their sin to God. Where the problem lies is confessing our sins to one another. And yet James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed.
Yeah, you know, I've often heard people use the term, this is where the rubber meets the road. And confession really is one of those kind of things, isn't it?
Definitely. There's a lot we don't know about confession. And I think we need to do a better job looking into God's word in that way.
There are two types of people that we confess our sins to. So explain that a little bit to us. What does that mean? What's the scripture behind that thought?
I think number one, we need to confess our sin to the person that you wronged, that I wronged. And that's part of repentance. So we see this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Numbers 5:6-7 says, when a man or woman acts unfaithfully against the Lord by committing any sin against another, that person's guilty and must confess the sin he's committed. And it's not talking about confessing it to God, but to the person, because it says he must make full restitution, add a fifth to its value, and give all this to the one he wronged. And so when we do something wrong, we do need to confess to God, because every sin is a sin against God, but we also need to confess to other people. And as this says, fix it if we can. And Jesus in Luke 17:3-4 says something very similar. He says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And so one of the steps of repentance is this person going to the one he's wronged and admitting, I did something wrong, will you forgive me? So that's a kind of obvious person that we should maybe confess to. The second kind of person we should confess to is not as obvious. And that's, we need to confess to someone who will help us stop sinning. Proverbs 28:13 is one of my favorite verses. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And by favorite verses, I mean, I don't really like the truth of that verse, but it's so important and has been painfully helpful to me over the years. And confessing to someone else who can help you is especially true if you're struggling with a sin you just can't stop. I mean, you've done the try harder next time strategy over and over, and it's just not working. And so what you need to do is stop concealing your sin and do the one thing that you probably least want to do, tell someone. But, you know, don't just tell anyone. You know, don't pick some random person in line with you at the grocery store or your gossipy neighbor. I think we can confess our sins to a godly friend who could help us. You know, bad things grow in the dark. Mold, fungus, healthy things grow in the light. And so we need to expose our sin to the light. We need to think about it in this way. If there's a bear outside my house, and every day I leave my house and it attacks me and just rips me apart, and I try to fight it, but at best it's a draw and I get to my car before it gets at me, but usually I lose. I mean, who would keep doing that day after day? I mean, wouldn't it be smarter to call up a neighbor with a gun and say, hey, there's a bear outside my house, and I've tried beating him on my own, but I failed every time, and whenever I see it wandering around my house outside, can I call you? Can you come over? Right? We would all get help. And Genesis 2 says, it is not good for man to be alone. And God's not just talking about marriage. People are social creatures, and we need each other spiritually. As the song says, no man is an island. You need someone to encourage you, hold you accountable, be there when you need him or her. And this is especially true of addictive, besetting sins, food addiction, sex addiction, drugs, alcohol. And we usually hide addictive sins. But if you want to prosper, Proverbs 28:13 says you must reveal instead of conceal. And I found that if I tell my wife, Becky, I don't want to eat dessert tonight, you know what? I don't eat dessert. But if I tell myself, Bob, I don't want you eating dessert tonight, I usually have dessert anyway. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out which approach is more effective. So whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. The one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Of these two kinds of people we should confess to, number one, those we've wronged, and number two, someone who could help us. Dr. Padron, which would you say, man, it's harder for me to talk to that person than it is the other person I need to confess to?
Well, I think for me, there's a challenge with both of those sometimes. I remember years ago when I was traveling for a certain conference I used to speak in probably four times a year, I really offended one of the speakers. And I remember I felt I was so right. I felt he was wrong, I was right. And you know, it was a point of theology that we were dealing with. And it's interesting, Pastor, I can't remember what the theology point was today, but I remember how right I was about it and how wrong he was. And I remember talking to my wife about it, and she did not agree with me. And you know, I really felt she was wrong. And then I talked to a couple of very good friends like you talk about here, and they never agreed with me either. And here's what happened. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up one morning and I had that guy on my mind. I needed to go get it right with him. I needed to confess to him. And yet I fought it. And I thought, he needs to get it right with me. And I remember a few days later, I woke up again at 3 o'clock. That happened several times. So the next time I was at one of these conferences, and he and I kind of ignored each other when we were at them, I went over and found him. We went to a side room. I said, I want to confess to you, I was wrong. And I felt so good telling him that. It was interesting. He said to me, no, I was wrong. And I said back to him, no, I was wrong. And we almost got into a fuss who was right and wrong. finally we kind of confessed it, got it right. And I'll tell you, Pastor, I've never again got up at 3 a.m. about that problem. It was all past. And what you're talking about here today, I think, is really, really important stuff. You're listening into Life Change today. This is Dino Padrone chatting with you, the Pastor Bob Kadlecic. Now, Pastor, let's continue with this thought of confession and so forth. I guess there's a lot of ways that we hedge our responsibilities. Give us some of your thoughts there, if you would.
Yeah, there's a lot of times that we confess in a bad way. And I've kind of outlined 4 different ways that I think people get confession wrong. And they all, just to summarize all of them, they all just don't take full responsibility for their actions. So I've kind of categorized them. The first one is the if apology. This is how not to confess. You don't say, "I'm sorry if I offended you or if I hurt you." It might make you feel better to say that, but anyone who's really listening, that's not helpful. The if is a way of denying that I did anything wrong. You're saying, "I don't think I did anything wrong, but if I did, I'm sorry." And that's not a confession. It's not taking responsibility. The second non-confession apology, I think, is the excuse apology. "I'm sorry. I was tired and not feeling well. I'm sorry the kids were acting crazy all day. I'm sorry the boss put me in a bad mood." And when we apologize that way, it's not really confession, because I'm saying it was my boss's fault, it was someone else's fault, it was the circumstances around me. That was the real problem, not me. And there's a variation of this, which is the "I have a dark side" apology. And that's saying, "I'm sorry, you know I'm not myself when I'm drinking," or "you know how I get when I haven't eaten." And again, you're saying, "I got this dark side and I can't control it, and it's not my fault, and it's just who I am." And I think in general, a big warning flag that probably indicates an excuse apology and a bad confession is that it's really long. Because bad confessions are full of explanations and rationalizations, whereas taking responsibility, a real confession, it doesn't take many words. "My fault, I was wrong, no excuse," the end. Mm-hmm. 2 more ways to apologize in a bad way, and hopefully people aren't taking notes in order to apologize worse, but to not do these things, is the "I didn't mean it" apology. "I was only joking. I didn't." Proverbs 26:18-19 says, this is really interesting, "Like a madman shooting firebrands and deadly arrows, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" So if you say, "I didn't mean it, I didn't mean to hurt you," again, that's not an apology. And it's important to only confess to something that you believe you did wrong. If you didn't think you did anything wrong, you can say a lot of things, but you really can't honestly confess. Confession is about admitting guilt and being clear about that, and not avoiding guilt and saying, "I didn't mean it," or "I was joking." The last bad way you apology, and I think this is the worst one, "I'm sorry that you misunderstood me. I'm sorry you didn't realize what I meant and that you took it the wrong way. You know, other people thought it was funny, but you're so sensitive." And whenever someone uses the word "you" in an apology, it's not an apology. It's the exact opposite. It's an accusation. And it's the worst kind because of that, because you're using the words "I'm sorry" to disguise what's another verbal assault on someone, because you're saying, "I don't have a problem. I'm sorry, you have a problem." So 4 ways to not confess to someone when you've done wrong.
Yeah, so I guess really the whole idea of false apologies, and by the way, I think what you just gave is a very good teaching tool, because I think there's a tendency for us to say that. Often we hear people nationally make these kind of apologies using, for example, the excuse apology, or "I didn't mean it" apology, or "if I really offended you, I'm sorry," that type of thing. I think that's kind of a turnoff, isn't it? And if we do it, I suppose we can't feel very good about ourselves. So false apologies, Pastor, I guess, really have no purpose, correct?
Yeah, and, you know, I actually wrote down a couple examples of these national apologies, and they are just, in fact, it's worse than they have no purpose. They actually sicken the person who's hearing that. Anyone who hears a false apology, just, you know, when a politician does that, you just roll your eyes and you actually think worse of them.
Yeah.
Whereas when someone takes responsibility, you think better. So here's, I got two examples. So these are so terrible. I just have to share them. Actor Kevin Spacey gave this apology after a young actor assaulting him. He said, quote, "If I did behave as he describes, I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been deeply inappropriate drunken behavior," quote. I mean, that's a if dark side excuse apology, and anyone hearing that is going to think Kevin Spacey is even a bigger jerk than they already thought he was. Another example is Juul CEO Kevin Burns. Juul is an e-cigarette manufacturing company. So it was during an FDA hearing about teenage vaping, he was asked, "What would you say to a parent whose child got addicted to your product?" And his response is, quote, "I tell them I'm sorry that their child is using the product. It's not intended for them. I hope there was nothing we did that made it appealing to them." And so the first sentence is this "you" apology. I'm sorry, it's your kid's fault. And then the second sentence is a clever way of saying "if" without actually using the word "if." And just bottom line, I share these because these are people you don't want to emulate. You don't want to be in that kind of company. And so when you confess sin, confess it to the person with no excuses, no ifs, buts, or maybes. "I was wrong," period.
Yeah, yeah. And those, both of those, as you listen to them, you share them. We have all heard those kind of things. And the fact is, if we're not careful, we try that ourselves. And yet we know that it has no benefit. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padrone chatting with you. Many of you have already purchased my most recent book, How Does God See Us? It's called True Spiritual Identity with a subtitle, How Does God See Us? The question is not how God views the world, America, your friends, family, or even your spouse. The question is, how does God view you? Stop and think, what does God say about you? True Spiritual Identity takes us to an ancient book drawing out a remarkable concept of how he sees his children. In this lonely and personal world we live in, there is hope and purpose based on what God says about his family. Once this truth is understood, a whole new world of blessing waits at the doorstep of the reader. The book is endorsed by a number of Christian leaders who are included in the volume. In the pages, you will find 15 amazing facts God says about you. Each of them are overwhelming. All 15 are a result of the amazing grace of God. I encourage you to get the book. You can simply call the number to get it at 1-800-473-5106. Or you can get it by going online at www.trilogy.tv, or you can go to bookstores, Barnes & Noble. You can go to Amazon and get it. Simply use the title, True Spiritual Identity, and my name, Dino Padrone. We want the book to be a blessing to you. Many have written to us and told us what the book has done for them already, and we love hearing those kind of responses because I think one of the most important things of the Christian life today is to understand how God identifies us and truly how God sees us. Well, Pastor, let's get to how we address this idea of confession. What are some things that you have that will help us with confession?
Yeah, there's seven ways we should confess, and these aren't original to me. I actually get them out of Ken Sandy's book, The Peacemaker. He calls them the seven A's of confession, and that's a great book to have if you want to work through this area more in your life. But the first one is you need to address everyone involved. So that means God, because all sin is against God, so you confess to God. But you don't stop there. You confess it to the person you've wronged. If I wrong my wife, then I need to confess to my wife. If I to her at the dinner table in front of my kids, then I need to confess not just to my wife, but to my kids who are at the dinner table because they were involved. And so address those involved. But I would add to that, only address those involved. You don't need to talk to somebody that, you know, isn't involved and just spill your guts to them. But if you stand up in a meeting at work or church and verbally tear someone apart, it's not enough to just go to that person privately. If at all possible, you got to get up at the next meeting or address everybody who was involved and who you were a part of that time when you hurt someone. So one is address everyone involved. Two is avoid the "but maybe" and "you" statements. And I've talked about this already, so I won't go on about that. Those are excuses or accusations. They're not confessions. So don't use "if you're confessing," don't use "if," "but," "maybe," or "you." And then three, admit specifically. So if I say, "I'm sorry about last night," that's avoiding the issue probably more than a real apology, because so vague. So it'd be better to say, "I'm sorry for last night because I was angry and sarcastic, and I lied when I said you never cared about me, and that wasn't true at all. I just knew I wanted to hurt you, and so I'm sorry for hurting you." So that's specific. And specific things also don't focus on feelings, but on what was actually said or done. And keep in mind, if you're on the receiving end of this, someone needs to confess specifically, but not exhaustively. So every detail and word doesn't have to be accounted for every word, and that's not helpful. But confession does need to be more than some vague, whitewashed, "I'm sorry," and be specific. And the fourth way is to acknowledge the hurt. And this is really powerful. The person you wronged needs to know you hurt them. And it's, you know, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." I'm viewing this from your perspective. I'm putting myself in your shoes. And it's saying something like, "I know it must have really hurt when I said I hate you. I know I said I'd never say that, I'd do that again. You must feel incredibly betrayed. You must feel hurt." And hearing your understanding of their hurt is really helpful. Now, that's a lot of things. So before we go to the last three tips to a godly confession, I wonder, of those four we already talked about, Dr. Padron, which is most difficult for you to remember to do? And maybe our listeners can think about this as well. Which is most difficult to remember? Addressing everyone involved, avoiding "if," "but," "maybe," and "you" statements, admitting specifically, or acknowledging the hurt?
I think acknowledging the hurt. What I think about people that I love, if I've hurt them, it hurts me deeply, and addressing it hurts me deeply. But I realize we have to have the courage to be able to do that. And the fact is, once it's done properly, as you have mentioned, it really is, I think, a therapeutic thing. It really is. Pastor, we have just about 1 minute left, so I hate to rush you, but I am rushing you.
Well, yeah, the last three characteristics, real quick. Number one is alter your behavior. If someone keeps doing the same thing over and over, it doesn't matter how many times they say they're sorry, confession, because we need to change behavior. And so what are you going to do different? And including that in confession, "I'm sorry for doing this, and I'm going to do this different going forward. There's something that's got to change." And then number six is accepting the consequences. If you steal from your employer, confess it, and get upset that they fire you, you aren't really repentant. Because if you're repentant, you will say, "Yep, I deserved it." And so accepting the consequences is important. And then lastly, asking for forgiveness. And I think that's the hardest one of all, because you're putting the power in their hands. It feels really vulnerable to ask this question, because they can say, "No, I won't forgive you." And if they do say that, then you need to accept they won't forgive you, but go on with your life knowing that you at least did what God wanted you to do by confessing your sin.
Yeah, this has been great teaching today. It's very therapeutic to confess and get things right. The Bible has much to say about that. And thank you, Pastor Bob, for your bold teaching today. It's been helpful to all of us. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Verdon chatting with you. Have a blessed weekend.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. That's dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.